John chapter 13. St. John chapter 13. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. I remember one time teaching a Sunday school lesson out of this verse right here. It says there, the devil put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. You know, the Bible tells us to guard our heart with all diligence. The Bible tells us that the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. Listen, the Lord, He says He searches our heart. He knows what we got hidden down in the recesses of our heart. And I tell you what, I remember teaching that lesson on how to avoid a heart attack. You better be on guard against the devil tonight, for if he can get your heart, friend, he's headed for your home. If he's headed for your home, he's after your children, friend. He wants to destroy you. He's the thief that come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And hey, listen now, you better guard your heart with all diligence, the Bible says. You're headed for trouble, friend. The devil wants a place in your heart tonight. You better watch him. You better watch him now. You better guard that heart of yours and keep it focused upon the Lord. And let me tell you something, friend. You better love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and give your life daily to Him. The devil is sly. He'll slip into your heart. When he gets there, he'll destroy you. He's done it before, and he'll do it again. Let's skip on over to verse number 21. And when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, testified, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. After the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought because Judas had the bag that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went out immediately, and it was night. Father, I love you tonight. I thank you, God, for this word, Lord, and what you've laid upon my heart, God. I need your touch tonight, Lord. I need your anointing, God. I pray, God, plead in the blood just now, Lord. You'd look beyond me and my faults, Lord. God, you'd give me unction, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, for these people that's gathered in your house tonight, Lord. You'd help us, God, what we stand in need of, Lord. We'll give you glory and praise, for it's in Jesus' name we beg your blessings, Lord. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. All of you know the story of Judas Iscariot. He's a well-known Bible character, and he's a Bible character that it's an amazing story as we look at his life right here and how that he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think as we look at this passage of Scripture right here and we look at how the devil entered into him, and you might say, well, Judas was a scoundrel. He was a sorry rascal, no doubt, betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. But did you know that the devil desires to have you and I for the same purpose tonight? Listen, friend, Judas walked with Jesus. Judas saw the miracles that Jesus had performed, friend. And listen, there was all the reason in the world for him not to betray him. But the devil entered into his heart, and through unbelief, Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, friend, we need faith. We need to grow in our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why it's so essential in our Christian life, in our Christian walk, that we stay in the Word of God, that we daily work upon our faith to grow our faith, to keep our faith strong. Because the devil, friend, has got his eyes upon you. He's got his eyes upon me. And let me tell you something, friend. He's got power, but he's not all powerful. If we'll keep our lives in tune with God and upon the Lord Jesus Christ, then, friend, he can't gain the victory over us like he did over Judas here. Listen, I'm interested in verse number 30 right here. He then, having received the sight, went out immediately out, and it was night. Now I want to preach a little while on this subject, the night that ended in eternal darkness. The night that ended in eternal darkness. No doubt Judas, when he left out of that room right there, he was thinking about the 30 pieces of silver he was about to get. But he didn't realize that when morning come, he'd be in a place called hell. There with the devil that deceived him, and with the devil and the demons at the place of eternal darkness and outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what the devil had in mind, to destroy him, to destroy you, to destroy me, to destroy this church, to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ that night. Oh, listen, friend. I warn you tonight. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give him a place in your life. He'll offer you the things of the world. He'll offer you things that'll satisfy the lust of the flesh. If you study the next few chapters right here, there's some Bible characters here that you see. Judas was, he yielded his life to the devil. And Peter, we know that Peter, he denied the Lord, and as it was told in the story there on over in your Bible right here. Peter yielded to the flesh. And then Pilate, he's a type of one yielding to the world. As he listened to the crowds that day cry, "Crucify, crucify, give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas." He said, "I find no fault in this man." But he yielded, he compromised. And let me tell you something, friend, you better watch the crowds of this world today. The liberals today are taking churches one by one, one by one, friend. They're taking over churches today that used to be in the old paths, that used to stand in the old ways, friend. And let me tell you why, friend, because people have compromised. They've compromised on God. They've compromised on the Word of God, friend. And listen, there's been a lot of preachers today that's gone liberal because of the crowd. This world today, friend, wants an ear-tickling preacher to get up there and tickle their ears on Sunday morning to tell them how good they are. And friend, just smooth over the sins that they got going on in their life. Don't preach against sin. Just tickle the ear and send them on their way. Pilate was that type of person. He was a crowd pleaser. And that was the type of the world that we see today. But the night of eternal darkness ended there for Judas. You know, nights, there's a lot of great events took place at night in your Bible. You remember going way back in the Bible, the Passover in Egypt took place at night, didn't it? At midnight, the death angel passed through the land of Egypt. There where the blood was not applied, the firstborn of every home died. Not only that, but the crossing of the Red Sea, when they were delivered out of Egypt, out of bondage there, they came up against the Red Sea. Pharaoh was behind them. The Red Sea was before them. If you'll take notice in your Bible, the Bible says that an east wind blew that night and divided the waters. Israel crossed over on dry ground in the middle of the night. But the next morning, they looked back and they saw the Egyptians washing up upon the shore. Great events took place. Great events of deliverance. Oh, the Passover, the crossing of the Red Sea. The Bible in the book of Ruth tells us that Ruth, a Gentile, Boaz, a type of Christ, Ruth, at midnight, she was laying at the feet of Boaz. He awakened
to redeem her. Do you know, friend, it's midnight. It's getting late in this old world today. Oh, friend, the sun is going down upon this world. The Bible tells us in the story of Isaac and Rebekah, his bride, the messenger went out to get a bride for Isaac. And then the journey back home, the Bible says it was eventide when she arrived. She lit off her camel there that day to meet her bridegroom. Oh, listen to me, friend. The sun's almost down upon this old world. You better be ready to meet God. You better be ready to meet Him. Well, there's a night coming, the Bible says, when no man can work. You better be getting things done today that you've been putting off. Another great night in the Bible was the night that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. You study the Word of God. When it was dark, dungeon full of lions, they cast him into the lion's den. Great nights of deliverance in your Bible, but there were some nights of shame also in the Bible. You remember the story of Lot? The angels came to Lot, and it was even, the Bible says. That night, when Lot was warned about judgment to come, he'd gone so far in sin that he had no influence on his family. Great night of loss. Great night of darkness. Great night of shame. Though Lot was a righteous man, the Bible teaches us. What about King David? It was night when he went up on the rooftop, looked upon a woman, fell into sin. Another night. Things take place in the night. What about Belshazzar? He threw a party one night, but he didn't realize he was going to die that night. The night of eternal darkness. I want to deal with Judas for a little bit. I want you to notice the path of great light that Judas was on. I find it amazing that somebody could be so close to the Lord Jesus, could walk with Him, talk with Him, touch Him, see the miracles that were performed by Him, and yet not believe. I find it amazing that people can come to church Sunday after Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, hear the Word of God preached, Sunday after Sunday, even see people saved by the grace of God, and yet still have unbelief in their life. There's miracles sitting all around this room right here. Friend, if you're looking for a miracle tonight, look right here. I'm a miracle. I was lost. I was in darkness. I was depraved. I was a sinner on my way to hell when Jesus came to me and He gave me a chance at life and He saved me. He gave me a new birth, a new creature. Oh, listen. Don't let unbelief send you to hell, because it will. You better believe the Word of God. Judas had a path of great light. In John chapter 12, the Bible says, "Walk while you have light, lest darkness come upon you. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light." This is the day of light. The Bible tells us that Jesus came into the world and He was the light of the world. And He also tells us that we as Christians are the light of the world. We try to exalt Christ. We try to lift Him up. We try to present Him to a lost and a dying world. Should be. How much light have you got shining out of your life? How much light are we shedding abroad in this dark day that we live in? The devil would like to lock us in darkness. He'd like to get our lives involved in darkness, friend, to put our light out. That's why we need to keep our lamps trimmed and stay filled with the oil of the Holy Ghost, friend, that our joy, that our light might shine out to a dark world today.
There's people dying by the multitudes and multitudes and going to a devil's hell. The Bible says that hell hath enlarged herself.
We ought not to be satisfied. We ought not to be satisfied. We ought to want to see people saved. Those of you that are saved in this room, ain't you glad that somebody cared for your soul one day? Ain't you glad that somebody prayed? Ain't you glad that somebody preached? Ain't you glad that somebody lifted Christ up to you that you might have a chance to believe? Oh, Judas, he had a path of great light. His encounter of this light, it was an encounter of deity. He walked with God manifested in the flesh. That's amazing to me. That's amazing that Judas, he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh. And yet this man was a non-believer. A non-believer. The light. Friend, Jesus was the true light. Tells us in 1 John. He was the light that came into the world to lighten the world. But Judas looked at the light. Judas listened to the teachings of the light of the world. But Judas let the devil harden his heart. Judas let the devil into his heart. And Judas let the devil send him to hell. Judas is there today. A place called hell. Forever and ever. His encounter of deity, friend, was with the light of the world. His example, friend, of this path of great light is an example that we all face. An example of a decision that we all have to make at some time in our life. Judas had a decision to make this night that they were gathered there as the Lord came around. He washed their feet and then the Lord's Supper was there to be presented there that night. Judas had a decision to make. Do I believe or not? Do I accept this man or do I reject this man? We all have that decision to make at some point in time in our life. Do we believe God or do we believe a lie? That's the choice. A great decision. You'll make a lot of decisions in your life. A lot of decisions. Sometimes you'll make a bad decision. Sometimes you'll make a good decision. But this decision right here, friend, you don't want to mess up on it. Because it has eternal ramifications. His example, friend, was to follow or forsake, believe or not believe, to sell out to God or to sell God out. We all have that same decision to make. Wonder if there's anybody in the house that has sold him out. The devil will get you to name your price. He has a lot to offer in this world today. His encounter of deity, his example of decision, friend, but his eternity of darkness. Darkness. It's amazing to me how people can walk through this life realizing, friend, and maybe they block it from their mind, but they put dying out of their mind. They don't realize, friend, that once you die, friend, then comes judgment. Judgment. When you die, friend, it's judgment. It's heaven or it's hell. Plain. Judas, his eternity is an eternity of darkness. An eternity of damnation. An eternity with the devils. And friend, let me tell you, it's a place of outer darkness. The Bible says there's weeping. There's wailing and gnashing of teeth there. It's not a place where you'll ever, ever, ever get relief. The fires of hell are hot and they burn forever and ever, friend. If you can explain how long eternity is, come tell me, I can't comprehend it. Eternity. And we're all one heartbeat away from it. One heartbeat away from eternity. It's amazing to me that in this story, as the Lord said, that thou hast to do, do it quickly. He walked out, shut the door behind him, walked out into the darkness of the night. He went on to betray our Lord. Later that night, you'll find it in the book of Matthew, when he went to the Pharisees and the chief priest, took a band of men, and he told them, he said, the one I'm going to kiss, that's him. Can you imagine that? Kissing the face of the Lord God. Kissing the face of eternal life that he might go and die eternally. Sad story, isn't it? Wonder how many people is in hell today. Come to church time after time after time. Had the Lord Jesus Christ pass by them, deal with their heart, touching them, the Holy Ghost conviction come upon them, and they, just like Judas, chose to kiss the face of life, walk out and take their chances with hell. Hell's full of people, I believe, that came that close. King Agrippa in your Bible, as Paul spoke to him about eternal things, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Felix, when he was dealt with by the man of God, he trembled. He trembled under conviction. But he said, some other time, a more convenient time. But these two men drops off the pages of your Bible, never to be heard of again. More than likely, they're in hell today. His path of great light, he kissed the face of light and went out into eternal darkness. But not only his path of great light, but the price of great lust. You better watch the lust in your life. It'll take you away from God. Judas had a lust for silver, no doubt. He was willing to sell the Lord out for a few pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver, the Bible teaches us, was the price of a slave. That's what he got in exchange for the Lord. The Bible teaches us a lot about money. It teaches us in the book of Ecclesiastes that it can't satisfy. If a person loves silver, it says, silver will not satisfy you. Why is that? I've noticed people that love money, they never can get enough. They're never satisfied. They can reach one goal, and then when they reach that monetary goal, friend, it gets a little higher. They keep moving higher and higher and higher, and their life is consumed by a lust for more money. Money cannot satisfy. In Psalms 49, the Bible teaches us that it cannot save. There's no price for redemption. You can't buy your redemption. It's already been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Money cannot save. When it comes time to leave this life, money can't buy you one more heartbeat. Money can't buy you one more breath. Money can't buy you one more minute to keep you out of hell or get you into heaven. Money cannot redeem. The Bible teaches that in Psalms 49. Proverbs 11 and 28 says money cannot stand. If we put our trust in money, we're surely going to fall, the Bible teaches us. You better watch the devil. Jesus taught us about the deceitfulness of riches. Money is a deceiver. Money is a god. You better watch how you're lusting after money. It has wings, the Bible says. It'll fly away. Anybody ever had any money fly away from you? Huh? Yeah. Oh, it's a god that'll leave you. It's a god that'll fly away and leave you stranded. You better put your trust in the Lord. His price of great lust was a lust for silver, friend. Let me tell you something, friend. We don't need money. We need mercy. We need manna from heaven, friend. God said if we'd seek Him first, that He'd add all these other things unto us. You better make sure God is upon the throne of your heart tonight and not the lust for money and the things of this world. Because the things of this world, when you need God the most, friend, you better have Him on the throne of your heart. He better be first in your life. The price of great lust. The lust for silver, friend. But not only that, but the loss of his soul. He had his mind focused on silver, silver, silver. He thought the Lord Jesus Christ was going to establish an earthly kingdom. And I believe with all my heart he thought he was going to restore Israel. And I believe he thought, I'm going to be the treasure of this great kingdom. I'm going to have lots of money. But he never gave any thought for his soul. The Lord said, what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let me tell you what you'd give, friend. You'd give everything you ever made in your life, everything you've ever acquired, friend. When you go out to meet God and your soul is not ready, friend, you'd give it all. Hell is full of men that gain great riches and wealth in this world. But if you could look into hell, friend, if you could offer them life for all that they ever acquired, they'd say, I'll give it all. Give it all. The loss of the soul. But this price of his great lust, friend, not only the lust for silver, the loss of the soul, but the legacy of shame. I don't want to leave this world and have my life looked upon as a shame. Do you? I don't want to be a reproach upon this church. I don't want to be a reproach upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to do my best to live clean and separated. But Judas, a man that walked with the Lord as one of his disciples, friend, his name today is synonymous with being a traitor, a betrayer, one that sold the Lord out. You better be careful. Watch yourself. Make sure you don't sell the Lord out for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the things that this world has to offer you. You see, the things of this world, for some reason, like the more that we have in this life, the further we get from God. Amen. It's true. That's why you better guard your life. If God has blessed you with things, you better give Him the glory. You know why? It's all His. It's all His. As He's given it to you, He can take it just like that. So let me tell you something. Don't let things draw you away from God and from the house of God. You're headed for a fall. And then not only the path of great light, the price of great lust, the peace that was a great loss. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. I've got some of that peace tonight.
I remember when I didn't have peace. I remember when I was lost and how miserable a person can be in a lost condition, realizing that you're just a heartbeat out of hell. That any moment you could lift your eyes in a place called hell, in a place of never, never, never having hope of getting out. Judas, friend, his peace that he could have had was a great loss when he walked out that night. It was lost by his sin. You see, we all got a sin problem. But Jesus can take care of that. He'll take your sins and He'll give you His peace. He'll give you peace, friend, that when you're dying, when you're laying on your deathbed and they come in and say there's no hope, friend, He can give you peace. He can give you peace. And let me tell you something. Every one of us, one of these days, is going to face that moment in our life, leaving this world. But I'm glad there's a peace that we can have. Judas didn't have that peace that night when he met death. Lost by sin. Then the loneliness of separation. When I wonder what Judas felt like that night when he walked out. Closed that door and walked out into the darkness of the night all alone. The only friends that he had then was the Pharisees, the God-haters, the Christ-rejectors. Had to be a lonely, lonely feeling. You remember when you was lost? How isolated? At times you felt so wicked, so desperate, so alone. Christ was your only hope. Loneliness of being separated from God. Loneliness of being separated from the peace of God. Sad, sad situation. Not only the loneliness of that separation, but the devil had entered into him. As Judas walked out the door that night, I can almost hear the laughing of the devil. The laughing. Oh, listen to me. He'll laugh at you. He'll deceive you. He'll trick you. He wants you not to believe. He wants you to reject Christ. He wants you to harden your heart against the Word of God and to the invitation of salvation. You know what? I bet you could almost hear the laughing of demons and devils that night. They knew they had Judas. They knew they had him deceived as he walked out, left the light of the world to go deceive him. Wonder how many times folks has walked out of the church house, been dealt with by the Holy Ghost of God, trying to draw them to salvation. Wonder how many times that the devil has sniggered and laughed because he deceived. Wonder how many people has walked out like Judas did and wound up in hell. Laughing of the devil. Not only lost by sin, loneliness, separation, the laughing of Satan, but the loss of sanity. He lost his mind that night. You know what? Being lost will drive you crazy. When the God of heaven comes to you and deals with your heart, shows you you're lost, shows you you're headed to hell, and you reject Him, He comes so close to you to deal with your heart by the Holy Ghost, and you reject Him, friend, and walk away from Him, it'll drive you crazy. Drive you crazy. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew, Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw he was condemned, repented himself. He didn't repent of his sins. He was sorry for himself because he didn't get to be treasurer of a great kingdom. He brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I've sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. They said, what's that to us? See thou to that.
They didn't care. They got what they wanted. That's the way the world is. When it gets all it wants out of you, they could care less if you die and go to hell.
And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and listen to this, and went out and hanged himself.
He lost his sanity. If you hadn't got the peace of God in you, the security of salvation, it'll drive you nuts. It'll drive you crazy. He went out and he hanged himself.
Path of great light. Price of great lust. Peace that was a great loss. And lastly this. His place of great lamentation. If we could open hell up tonight and listen to the screams and the cries and the pleadings of hell for just a temp of water, for just a brief moment of escape, for one more chance to accept Christ, to be saved, friend, somewhere down in hell, we could hear the voice of Judas pleading and pleading and pleading, Lord, help me, I'm tormented in these flames. One more chance. Please, please, please.
It's a place of great lamentation. All the people that's in hell, you know what? They died and went to hell because of unbelief. But you know what? There's not one unbeliever in hell now. There's not one unbeliever in hell. They all know that Jesus could have saved them if they would have just believed. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. One of the saddest stories in the Bible, isn't it? Judas named his price. Oh, listen to me, friend. What would it take to knock you out of church? What would it take to get you out? What would it take to get you out of church? Name your price. The devil will be sure you get it. He wants to trick you. He wants to deceive you. Lost person, he wants to see you in hell because he knows that's where he's headed. He wants to take you there with him. Stand with us.